The interesting thing in Psalm 119 is divided into sections, and each section has 8 verses, and there is 22 sections there, and corresponds with the Hebrew alphabet, right? And in each section, in the original language, every verse in that section begins with the letter of the alphabet that it's found in. So obviously when you translate to English, you don't get that. But that is the intent. Beautiful psalm. And as I was looking at it, the first thing that stuck out was the word blessed. And so I couldn't think of a better title than to put blessed. I mean, if I'm a child of God, I want to know how I can be blessed. You say, well, if you know Jesus as your Savior, aren't you already blessed? Well, yeah, in a way. But I'm greedy. I want to know more. Maybe I shouldn't say I'm greedy that way, but I want to know how I can be blessed even more of the Lord. And even more so, how can I bless the Lord? You know, I had an old pastor who used to say all the time, bless the Lord. So there had to be something to it. How can I bless the Lord? How can I be blessed? And even more so, how can I bless others? And I believe it all begins right here with the word bless. So let's pray one more time and we'll dive into Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Father, we're grateful and thank you for the opportunity to look into your word tonight. Thank you for those that are here, Lord, and the faithful on the evening shift here, Father. And we're just so grateful for those that have a desire to come to the church house, Lord, to hear the preaching of your word, to fellowship with like believers. Father, to lift up your name in praise. It's so wonderful to be amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ. And thank you that you've given us this avenue, Lord, and help us that we might edify one another. And Lord, that we might go forward to grow your kingdom. And we give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 119, the psalmist begins with, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the way of the law, in the law of the Lord. And I'm going to go ahead and read all 8 and we'll come back to the first one. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. And I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. And you can already immediately see that everything here has to do with the law of God or the word of God or the statutes of God. And all those words are used interchangeably. And you're going to see that all throughout the psalm. So there's something key about the instructions that God gives us. And I reckon if we're going to be blessed, it'd probably be beneficial to know and to study and to learn to memorize the instructions that God gives us. You know, there's God's way of doing things, and then there's every other way. And I know every time that I've tried to do things my own way, I have not been blessed. It's not until I decide that I'm going to do it God's way that I've been blessed. And so there's something to following God's instructions. Now, some of the translations, that first verse says something about blameless. And though blessed are the ones who are blameless. And I feel like that kind of leaves something out. I began to do a word study on that undefiled. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Well, of course, blessed, it's ashar is the Hebrew. And of course, there's your A for the aleph that begins with. And that just simply means, oh, how happy. Not only blessed, but rejoicing, happy, excited, blessed of God. The root meaning of that is level or straight. So to be straight and level in life. It makes sense? Hope so. To be happy. I know when things are on the straight and level, that's when I'm at my happiest. When things are out of whack, that's kind of when I'm saying, well, I must have done something on my own. But he says, blessed, happy are the undefiled. And that word undefiled is the Hebrew word tomim. That means without spot, without blemish, perfect and upright. And what's interesting about that word is you find it most often in the Pentateuch, in the first 5 books. And what else do you find in it? You find the law. Now, as you look in other areas of the Old Testament, something that would be similar to undefiled would be the word shalom. S-H-A-L-E-M, or shalem, which means complete and peaceable, made perfect. It could have easily been used here. But the word talmim, he used specifically, referencing without spot and without blemish. Again, going back to the law. And it's ironic that he uses that word because he's talking about the precepts of the law, the God's precepts, his statutes, his teachings, his directions. So why is that interesting? Because it undefiled and without spot, that word points back every time it's used, or most of the time that it's used in the Pentateuch, is referring to the sacrifice. That when they offered the sacrifice, they were to find one without spot that was perfect and whole. Where are you going with this? Bear with me. I'll get there. It's translated in Psalm and Proverbs most often as perfect and upright. Same word, perfect and upright, associated with without spot and blemish. Again, he could have used the Hebrew word shalem or shalem, but he didn't. Rather, he used that word that points to the blood sacrifice. And the next little part in the way is darik, and that means a course of life or mode of action. So he's saying, blessed are the ones who are without blemish in the way, in their lifestyle. So I started thinking about it. I was like, who is without spot? And who's without blemish? If I was ever going to be a sacrifice, I know me, and there's no way I could ever be a sacrifice. There was nothing perfect or without spot about me. I'm filled with sin. And it just reminded me, just like the law did, it points to the Savior. It points to Jesus. And so he's using a word here, the undefiled in the way, to point to the ones who've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. So he begins with, blessed are the born again. Well, he wouldn't have said it that way because obviously Jesus hadn't been crucified yet. But it's essentially what that's meaning. Remember, even in the law, even in the Old Testament, salvation was still by grace. And it was a looking forward to what was to come, the promise that was to come. We get to look backwards and see. But they were to look forward, and it was still by faith. They were saved by faith through grace, just like we are today. They just looked at it a different direction. So again, who are the undefiled, the unright, the upright and perfect in lifestyle? Well, in Scripture it tells us there's none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. Isaiah 64:6 says, we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousness are filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So if we're all as an unclean thing and without spot or blemish and not righteous, then how does one become undefiled in the way? And we mentioned that already, by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8. And 9 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So Old Testament and New Testament, salvation by grace through faith. It's said of Abraham as an example in James 2:23. The Bible says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. James references Genesis 15:6, where he says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham, looking forward to the promise, was saved by grace through faith. So happy are the saved and the redeemed. Whether they were looking forward to the coming of Christ or whether we're looking back to what Christ did for us. Happy are the saved and the redeemed is how you can begin that. And that's why I said that. What was that word I used a while ago? It done slipped my mind again. blameless. Blameless just didn't do it justice. But undefiled in the way. Happy are the saved and redeemed. How are they happy? What makes them happy? Well, one, they're saved. But it's not just being saved. It's not just being redeemed that makes you happy and blessed. Oh, you're blessed. Your eternity's in heaven, and you got that looking forward to, but you can have blessedness as you walk this way. And so he tells us, happy are the saved who walk in the law of the Lord. You know, it's not enough just to be born again. It is for salvation. It is to be a child of God, but it's not enough to just be born again to live in this life. Brother Allen brought out this morning about a Christian living in sin is unacceptable. And that's what this is referring to as well. If we're going to be blessed as a child of God, then we need to walk in the law of the Lord. And don't get so caught up in, do you mean I got to keep all the laws? I thought we didn't have to do the works. No, that's not what he's saying. And understand that the law, the word for that is Torah, which means a precept or statute. It's from the root yara, which means to teach and direct and instruct. And so the law of the Torah means a teaching instruction of the Lord. And he said, blessed are the undefiled, or happy are the saved who walk in the teaching and instructions of the Lord. You want a happy and blessed life? Walk in the instructions of the Lord. And that's pretty simple, seemingly, right? He says, if I walk in the instructions of the Lord, does that mean nothing evil's ever going to happen? No, we live in an evil world, an evil influence world. If I walk in the instructions of the Lord, is nothing bad's ever going to come my way? No. We're influenced all around. But when you're walking in the instructions of the Lord, he gives you happiness. Not just the joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ, but that part of you that just spills, overflows, and it shows on your face. So when you go through the storm, you can still be happy. And that's tough. It's one thing to have joy because you know your joy comes from Christ. It's another thing to walk happy while you're going through the storm. When we walk in the ways of the Lord, he says we're blessed. Oh, how happy. Again, it doesn't say that nothing bad ever happens to the believer. Joy and fulfillment are found in the Lord and not in what is taking place here on earth. Verse 2, Bible tells us, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. Those things that God has testified of, all of the examples in the not only the law that he has given, the commandments he has given, those things he has testified of, the things that the Holy Spirit had testified. We can read in the New Testament, and Jesus said, the Holy Spirit has testified that I'm the Son of God. And so we can trust those things that are testified of by God. And as we read those things and study those things and learn those things, it allows us to seek them with our whole heart. You know, last week we preached on the greatest commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might and with all thy strength and thy neighbor as thyself. And to love God with all one's heart was to choose to place him at the center of who one is and what one believes. So to seek him with our whole heart would be to put him at the center of what we're looking for every day in life. If we're to seek him with our whole heart, as he's the center of who we are. When we seek to honor him and when we seek to bless, glorify him and even to bless him. When the decisions that we make each day in our life, when they're focused around on what are we going to do for God today? Our walk becomes blessed. You say, well, I know what I got to do there. I got to get up and go to work. I don't want to go to work. I've been doing that for umpteen years, and I'm tired of it. Yeah, I understand that. But then we get our focus in the wrong place because we're thinking about, I don't want to. But you know, God's put us in every place that we are. Maybe saying, I got to get up and go to school. I don't want to go to school. I've been learning for years. Teachers hadn't told me nothing new. In fact, some of the stuff I'm learning is ridiculous. When am I ever going to use this stuff? Carolyn's laughing. We've said that about, again, our philosophy class. But God's put you where you are, and he's got you on a path, and he's going to use you if you allow him to do so. If you keep him at the center of everything that you do, he'll point out what he has for you to do. And again, Brother Allen mentioned this morning about Blackaby, and it's a wonderful quote that when God reveals to you where he's working, get in on it. And you're only going to know where God's working is if you're seeking him with your whole heart, if he's at the center of what you're doing. Otherwise, you're not going to pay attention to what's going on. You're only going to be self-absorbed in what I got to do today. Oh, I got to go turn this wrench. Oh, I got to write a paper. I say that because I got to write a paper when I leave. But it's more than just what we do. It's what God's teaching us and molding us and training us to do. It's the path that he has us on, that if we're keeping him at the center, he'll bless us. Does that mean we're going to be loaded with riches and health? No, not necessarily. But to have his blessing on you, his smile, his favor on you as you go through life, and when you're taking opportunities and the Holy Spirit's telling you to go talk to someone about Christ, and you go and you tell them, or the Holy Spirit says, hey, help this person out, or maybe the Holy Spirit says, hey, don't go that way. Sometimes that's a blessing. It's important to listen to what the Spirit tells us, and we can only do that when we're seeking God with our whole heart. Otherwise, we'll be too wrapped up in ourselves. So if one is seeking and searching out God in every area of their life, all other things are going to fall right into place. And I said that last week. In verse 3, he said, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. And I said, boy, I'm never going to be blessed. They also do no iniquity. Oh, I know my old wicked self. I know this old flesh and the things that pop up in this old mind, but then I go back to the first verse and it talked about the undefiled and the way, and that it's pointing to Jesus Christ, and then when we know Christ is our Savior, that his account becomes our account and our account becomes his account, and we're washed clean, and so we're considered as though we have no iniquity. We're considered as though we have no sin. We're considered whole and perfect and upright. And so when you remember that, then you can say they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. And that doesn't mean that we can just walk about any way we want to and say, oh, if God sees me as whole and righteous, I'm just going to do whatever I want. No, understand that do no iniquity means that you're not actively seeking out to do moral evil or perverseness or unjustness or unrighteousness or wickedness. You're not actively seeking those out, and there's a difference in one's life when before you knew Christ as your Savior and after you know Christ as your Savior, things change. And yeah, we still sin and fall short, but it's not something that's actively done. And when it does happen, the Holy Spirit is quick to convict. And hopefully you're quick to repent and ask forgiveness. And if that's the case, then that means God's at the center of what you're doing. Your eyes are on him. And he'll forgive you, and you'll be blessed. He said, man, I could just keep on doing that and keep asking forgiveness. Well, no, that would be the actively seeking out. You can't be the same. Rather, we're to walk in the teachings and instructions of God. Again, the psalmist is telling us to different ways, to walk in the things that God has taught and that he's instructed. Why? God give us these things so that we can live a life that will be peaceable as much as can be. At least with him, won't be peaceable with the enemy, but peaceable with God. Live out the example that Christ gave us. To present our bodies a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1, holy and acceptable unto God. Present our bodies a living sacrifice. And we can go back to that verse 1 about undefiled and the sacrifice. And so remember that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice every day. Verse 4, he says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Again, another word that means his law or his instructions or his teachings. With careful intent to walk each day in a manner that brings honor and glory to God. In a manner that reflects Christ, and in a purposeful choice to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. You know, out of that, it seems it'd be easy to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And it seems like the harder one of that is to love thy neighbor as thyself. But if we truly consider what our flesh does, even a heart, mind, and soul, and strength is tough. Sometimes it's easier to love our neighbor than it is to love God with everything that we are. But you know, Scripture tells us that if we hate our brother whom we've seen, and yet we say we love God who we haven't seen, and we're a liar. Same goes for our neighbor. How can we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength if we're not loving our neighbor? What does it mean to love our neighbor? It means to love them as ourself. What would you do for yourself? You take care of yourself. You mean I got to go take care of all my neighbor's needs? No, I didn't say that. But to reach out and treat your neighbor as a person. Does that bring honor and glory? Is that part of the command that God has taught us, the precepts he's told us to keep diligently? That's what Jesus taught. Love your neighbor as yourself. Even more important is to love thy brother, those that know Jesus Christ as Savior, and to make sure that our brothers and sisters are taken care of as best we can. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts, to present our bodies holy, acceptable unto God, that living sacrifice, all those things that God has given us. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto thy commandments. The psalmist laments as he recognizes there's times he falls short. And he says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And I can sympathize and empathize with that, as there's times where I desire to walk in the way that God has wanted me to walk. And yet my flesh has tempted me and I fall to the right or to the left. And David, the psalmist says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Because when I keep thy statutes, then shall I not be ashamed, and when I have respect unto all thy commandments. All his commandments. Said, so, Brother Dave, you still talking about the old sacrifices of the law? No. We can go to Jesus and his teachings. Is the Old Testament not worth anything? No, it's worth a whole lot. There's a lot of great stuff there, a lot of great teachings. There's probably a lot of great things in them first five books that if we did keep, we'd be a lot better off. He said, but they didn't eat pork. It might have been healthier for that. I don't know. I like bacon. I had a grilled chicken sandwich the other night to put bacon on it, kept it healthy, right? But we indulge in stuff, is what I'm getting at. We indulge in things because it tastes good. So, oh, we're not under that old law. I don't have to do that. No, you don't have to do that. But maybe if we paid a little more attention to some of that stuff, we'd be a little more healthier than what we are. Maybe we wouldn't battle the issues we battle with daily, the physical problems we have. Some of them, not all of them, but maybe my clothes wouldn't be so tight today if I follow a little more closely God's laws. You see, just eating lentil like Daniel and their three Hebrew boys. Oh, I don't know about all that. It worked for them. Right? And they was in prison, and they asked up, give us our lentil, our pulse, test us 10 days. They were stronger than all the other guys that were eating steak from the king's table. If I was them other guys, I'd have been mad at them boys too. Because my flesh likes to eat that stuff. But those guys put it in their heart that they were going to honor God. And it really wasn't about necessarily the food that were partaking in, but that they were following God's commands and doing what God had required. And God blessed them in their walk. And he gave them more strength, and he gave them a healthier countenance than all the other guys that were following along with the greatness of the king's table. And that followed those four guys their whole time as they live in the kingdom. And even when wicked things came their way, God blessed them and glorified himself through them in their life. Daniel was in the lion's den. Three Hebrew boys were in the fire. They weren't absent from trouble, but God was with them. And I think their heart is really the teaching in all that is, when they said, it doesn't matter what you do to us, King, we're not going to bow down to you. Our God's able to deliver, but even if he don't, we're going to serve him. And they followed the laws of God, the commands, the teachings, the directions, the instructions that God gave. They followed it with their whole heart. And they loved God with their whole heart. And God honored them. And even if they would have died, it wouldn't have mattered because they knew where they was going. They was going to be with God and they were going to live in a way that honored and glorified him no matter what. And so that's what the psalmist is telling us. That it doesn't matter what's going to happen if we're walking in the way that God wants us. We may be called to give our life for Christ. We may be called for that. And if you do, there's a rhyme or reason behind it. Who knows what it is? There's a rhyme or reason behind it. But will you stand? You will if you're seeking the Lord with your whole heart, if you're walking in his precepts and his instructions and his teachings. We've been spoiled too long in America. The psalmist recognizes that shame comes when he falls short, and we too as believers should lament and confess when we fall short in God's ways. And if walking contrary has gotten comfortable, woe unto you, Christian. Woe unto me. Repent and return to fellowship with God. If sin has gotten control, repent and draw nigh to God. Just as David said, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Get into his word. Get your prayer life back in order. Understand that God loves you, is willing to forgive you if you confess. Understand that when he forgives, it is forgiven. That's one of the hardest things about asking for forgiveness is the asking forgiveness part sometimes comes easy. But to go to God and say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. And once that part's done, the harder part is remembering that when God forgives, it's forgotten. As far as the east is from the west. And yet we drag that with us everywhere we go because we don't forget. Don't wallow in the guilt of sin when it's been forgiven. When you do that, that's when the enemy can convince you that you're a failure and you're unworthy. And don't let the enemy claim unclean what God has cleansed. So when we have our eyes focused where they need to be and we're seeking God with our whole heart and we're following his precepts and his instructions, we're blessed and we're happy. Verse 7, he said, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Rejoice in what God has done for you. Understanding his judgments are righteous, and when we're faced with the consequence of a sin, understand it's because God loves that he corrects his children. God loves, and that's why he corrects. We can praise God with a righteous heart when we understand that he corrects his own. If you've fallen and you get correction for God, rejoice. Well, repent first, then rejoice. Because a correction means you're his child. The Lord doesn't correct those that aren't his, but he corrects his own. We can praise and rejoice knowing that the enemy will ultimately be judged. In verse 8, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Christian, seek to keep God's statutes in your daily walk, knowing that God will never forsake his children. He'll never forsake you. God says, I'll not leave you nor forsake you. I don't want to close with Psalm 37 and 23. I didn't ask him to put it up there, but if you look, Psalm 37, 23 through 29 says this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young, and am now old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. When we choose to walk with the Lord, walk in his ways and his teachings, we're happy and blessed. And God doesn't forsake his own.